She's like, yeah, I'm ready to worship. That's right. Well, then I guess we are going to start. Happy Father's Day, everyone. That's a father here. And, well, Lord, I just want to come to you this morning. Lord, you are our perfect Father in heaven, and you love us so much, and you guide us and direct us, and you've just made such an amazing path for us, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we can just get to know you even deeper, Lord, and that as your children, Father, that we can learn to listen a lot faster, Lord. But we just ask you just to lead us in worship this morning. And Father, right now, I just want to pray for Natalie and Rumsey. Lord, right now, Rumsey's in the hospital. I guess he has a temporary paralysis. Something's going on there. Father, we're not sure if it's maybe Lyme's disease or this palsy thing, Lord. But, Father, this is just a young man with two young children, Lord God, and three, Father. And, Lord God, we just pray that you just give these doctors wisdom, Lord. We pray that you just give them insight as to what's going on. Father, we pray that you heal his body, Lord. Pray that you touch him right now. We pray peace upon him and Natalie, Lord God, as they're going through all of these things. Father, we lift that family up to you, Lord, and help us just to be servants and help them in any way that we can to help them through this time, too, Lord. Put that on our heart and what we need to do. Father, but we lift them up to you, Lord, and we just pray for this supernatural healing, Lord God. And if you want to use their family to minister even to the doctors, Lord, and their faith in you, Lord God, we pray that you just use this situation, Lord. We lift that up to you, Father.
Glory, come and let
Lord, to do that deep work in us, Lord God, and just clean us from within, Lord, and help us just to seek you so much, Father. Help us to look to you as that Father that just completely just guides us in every way, Father. Help us not to try to do it in our own strength, Lord.
Father to the fatherless, defender of the weak, freedom for the prisoners, oh, we sing. This is God in his holy place. This is God, both in love and
lift your voice and cry out, awesome.
know, we have to think about all the different things that we're going through in life, all the things that we have been through. You know, our God is strong. He's going to take care of us. And while we may not understand his perfect plan, we can understand that he does have a perfect plan. And Father, we put all of our trust in you right now, Lord. We are going to trust you, Lord God, through the trials and through the good times, because you are our good Father. And we know that when we put our trust in you, Father, we don't have to hold on anymore. We don't have to be strong in every situation. We can ask you to be strong for us. Father, help us to have that release, Lord, and that submission to your will, Father, so we can stop fighting everything that you want for us, Lord. And we can feel that peace come over us, Father.
Oh, I heard a
I just thank you for loving us, Father. I just praise you, Lord, that even when I feel like I'm just completely unlovable, Father, I know that you give me that unconditional love, Lord, and I can find my identity in you, Father. That we don't have to look to anyone else in the world, Father, for anything, Lord. But you can comfort us, and you can speak to us, and you show your approval of us, and how much you love us, and how we're beautiful, Father. Help us to seek you for everything, Lord, and not look to this world, because you are our good, good Father. So for the first three songs, it was just us kind of singing to the Lord about how wonderful he is and how he does stuff for us. And this is kind of like his song to us.
My son, why are you striving? That's been done for you. I did it all while I was dying. Rest in your faith, my peace will come to you. For when I hit the greatest star, I want to rain upon you blessings that will fill your heart.
That's our pure and our perfect Father. He loves us. He wants to embrace us. He forgives us. He cleanses us. Everything that we've done, it's gone. We're a new creation. And all because our Father loves us so much. And as we honor our fathers today, Lord, here on earth, Lord God, help us to glorify you so much more, Lord, in our actions and everything we do, Father. I pray for the fathers here right now, Lord, that their love can grow deeper in you, Father, so that you can make them the best father here on earth, Lord. Yeah. We pray that you just bless them with wisdom, Father. And we pray, Lord, that you guide them and that they'll listen to you, Lord, so that that can be a legacy for their children, Lord. We give this day to you, Father, in your name we pray. So right now, I guess we also have a nice little Father's Day video that we're going to show. So that's your cue, George.
That's my cue.
Sorry.
Absolutely.
Hey, kids. Mom needs more help inside.
Hey. How many kids do you have?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
That is a good number.
Whoa. Let's just concentrate on this one for now. Hey, what's it like being a dad?
Mr. Clams has been sleeping for 2 days, Daddy. Goodbye, Mr. Clams.
Alright, just slow down a little bit.
Stop yelling at me.
I don't think that... and that is why we always wear our seatbelt. And that's the birds and the bees. One, two, three. Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us.
God has the coolest job, getting made clowns all day.
Yeah, it does. But I think one of his very best jobs is when he made you.
Dad.
Hey, what's it like being a dad?
How much time you got?
Isn't that great?
Bibles, please, to Romans chapter, I think we're at the end of 15. George and I had a different opinion of where we left off, so we're going to, I thought we were in 16, but if we had a little bit in 15, I think we'll be on verse 22. Or 3. Thanks, so. You already did that. Thanks for make sure if there's anything super importante. There's about a million people out today. Okay, so again, we've got lots of loaves and bagels. Over in there in that corner, there's probably about, I don't know, a couple hundred pieces of bread, and there might even be a few loaves of bread. But there's definitely fresh Panera bread from last night. And so please feel free to take a bunch of that home. Okay, we want to make sure you get some. Okay, I'm going to skip all these. Pastor Paul, you know, from Africa, teaching in the slums. He's going to be here next weekend. So please make him feel welcome. There's going to be a potluck afterwards. Huh? Somebody told me to say something.
Cool.
But they're not here. So anyway, I think maybe bring a side dish or dessert. But anyway, he's going to be here from Africa to teach us. So it should be a great time. And then free lunch afterwards. So please, again, set up be here. Make him feel very welcome.
Hey, Darren.
Yes, George.
Tom and Gary actually recorded a little video for the picnic thing.
They did?
Yes, they did.
Oh, no. Okay.
You want to see it?
Okay, go ahead. All right, let's just see. I don't know what this is. I haven't seen it. So. Okay.
Where are we at? Where'd I hide it?
Yeah, no, that's
pretty good. Hey,
you won't
see it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if people are going to use their phone. Actually, I'm
scared.
Lights, camera, action, let's go.
Okay.
That was a preview.
Yeah.
That's the trailer.
So on the 25th, right?
Yes.
We are doing a church picnic, right?
Yep.
I don't know why it's acting up. It was playing
time right.
Really.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, here's the deal. Okay, when they're all...
And what you and I talked about at breakfast the other day, that you were going to make an announcement about the picnic and what they...
No! All right, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to tell them...
Is that we do have to let the body know, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to do it.
No, but I thought we talked about.
All right.
It's that.
Tomorrow, here's what you do. Just tell them what you saw of the video. It was fantastic. It was really
good.
Okay, everybody next to me, and they're here, and I just tell them what a great video what you saw. All right. Back to Romans. Thanks, anyway.
Well, it was fun when we did it.
You always preview your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun when we did it.
All right. For this week, since we're going to skip most of the announcements, just for time. Get there myself, kids. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. Chris, if you deliver anybody who doesn't have a Bible, just raise your hand. We'll bring one right to you. We are in Romans, at the very end of Romans 15, as he's planning. We're at the very end of this letter, and so Paul is planning on visiting Rome, and then in chapter 16, I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But it has a bunch of names, and when I first looked at it, I'm thinking, well, it's just a bunch of names. What can we learn from that? But there's actually a ton. And actually, we're going to have, Hannah, I don't see Hannah here, but Joe, you are, Elijah, Hezekiah, Asleen, in a couple weeks, and I'd like you guys to come up and share one thing that God spoke to you, okay, while you were at CYA camp, okay? So, yeah. All right. One of the things that we talked about last week was hope. And one thing that I noticed that the enemy is trying to kill in each of our hearts and lives is hope.
Oh, he must be.
And in Romans 15:13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him."
Yeah.
And in 1 Peter, it says that we, as Christians, are to always be prepared to give an answer to anybody who asks us for the reason of the hope that we have in us. Well, if we're never challenged in that, if we're never challenged, they'll never get to see the hope. See, the hope, the assurity that we have in Christ goes beyond our circumstances. And so I want to get to, I got a lot of slides. Would you guys let me do some of these slides?
Your mics.
Oh, my mics. Details. All right, there we go. All right.
No, not the Jeopardy song, please.
Okay, so anyway, so one of the things we talked about was how the thief comes in only to kill and destroy and steal. And he's come to rob you of that hope, of that assurance in Christ. In every situation and every trial you're going through, that's really bad. Here's what you're thinking. God doesn't love me. Oh, he loves everybody else. He's going to get them through it because I know God. But it's just me personally. It's this trial. It's this circumstance. It's this situation that is overwhelming. I can't handle it. I just want to die. I'm drowning. God doesn't care about me. Right? We're being self-centered. That's what we think. But it's not true. See, the enemy's trying to rob you of that assurance, that LPs. When it says hope in the Bible, it's talking about confident assurance. And so we talked about when the enemy always fights the heart when he knows God has something great in store for you. And so part of the maturation process as a Christian are these trials, are these things. As you hold on to him, as you trust in him, and he pulls you through it, you grow, you become stronger. You're able to comfort others with the comfort he's given you. You'll know by experience instead of just by head knowledge. And so we talked about, in Lamentations, it's saying, "I am still there to hope in you because your faithful love, your mercies never cease. Great is your faithfulness. So I'm going to hope in you." We talked about that I think this was Psalm 119, I still didn't put the verse up there, 16 through 22. And verse 18 says, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those whose hope in his unfailing love." Verse 20, "We wait in the hope for the Lord." 21, "In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name." And that's, he is the God of hope, and you are my refuge and my strength. I put my hope in your word. Psalm 119:14. Alright, let's see all this. We need reminders all the time because the enemy's always trying to snatch away the word of God. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. Talked about that. Talked about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. We talked about we either use what we've learned or we're going to lose it. in the parable of the talents. Okay, so here's the thing. As God, you're going through whatever trial, if you're not going through a trial right now, you know what? Just thank the Lord. Just be thankful for that time. But if you are, you know, he's trying to just fill you with hopelessness. The fact that you're here is a testimony to you hanging on to the Lord, because here's what you do when you're feeling most hopeless, right? You want to just stay in bed, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You want to just shut the door. You don't want to go to the Bible study. You don't want to go to the fellowship. You don't want to see, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just want to turn on the shower on hot and just, like, stay there. You know what I mean? Like, maybe I'll do that. In fact, well, a lot of people are on vacation, but pray for those who aren't here. There are some here today that maybe they're feeling hopeless. Maybe they're feeling helpless. So pray for them, you know? And a lot of times, it's this is what I see. And it's, I love this little cartoon. It's kind of comical, but it's kind of true, isn't it? We're like, here's a guy praying, God, please protect me, right? And then he gets hit by the rock, bam! Ah! And he's crying out, God, why? Won't you love me? And meanwhile, there's Jesus, shield him from all these boulders, you know? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss one? Are you all right? And so when we get hit by the little pebble, we're thinking, oh, you know, oh, God, you don't care about me. That's what the enemy wants you to think. When Jesus was in the boat with all of his disciples, right? They knew to do miracles. The storm was coming. He was asleep on a pillow. Water was coming in. The winds and waves. Even the fishermen were panicked. It was like a hurricane. And they said, Jesus, we're drowning. And they didn't say, can't you do a miracle here? They said, don't you care? That's what we always, when it comes right down to it, we always doubt God's love for us in those situations. So don't even trust your feelings, right? Because they can lie to you. Your little melon will say, yeah, he doesn't, because I'm a loser. No, he loves you. You hold on to that truth in those times of trouble and in those times of pain. Because probably Jesus is shielding you from more pain than you even realize. All right. Thanks. Why don't we read, if I could have somebody read Romans 15:22. Oh, here's one more thing. I read this today. This morning I thought it was great. If God brings it to you, bring you through it. So if God brings you to it, he's going to bring you through it. It's a silly little saying, you know, but it is true, isn't it? So he's going to get you through anything. Okay, I need somebody to read. This is just kind of, he's closing out the letter. He's saying, I'm coming to you. It's a lot of narrative stuff. So I just need somebody to kind of read it, and then I'm going to just interrupt you here and there. Starting in verse 23, where I think we left off. Romans 15:23, if I could have somebody read it. And where's the microphone? Who has that? Okay, somebody mind reading that? Raise your hand, and the lovely, intelligent Soap will bring you a microphone. Okay, Ray? All right. Hold on 1 second. But they're blinding girls' feed. Look at that. It's amazing.
But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, since I have been long for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey here, after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution to the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessing. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way.
Now just really quickly, now he was planning on going to Rome, and he was planning on going to Spain. You know, when he was going to Rome, you remember he took a collection from the Gentile churches in Jerusalem. They were having a famine. And so What Paul is doing is he's bringing a blessing, a gift from the Gentile believers to the Jews. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, and also 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. You know, it says, did Paul go to Spain? You know, the Bible doesn't really say that he did or he didn't go to Spain. Early tradition and church fathers like Clement, there are writings that he did go to Spain and England, but we don't really know for sure. So it's kind of like a little bit of speculation. But, okay, would you continue there?
I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all.
And so here, you know, in verse 31, you know, it says, you know, he's saying pray that I can be rescued from unbelievers. He's asking them to pray all these things. Paul had been warned by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 20. I don't know if you remember that, verses like 22 to 23, that when he goes to Jerusalem, that he's going to be bound up and taken captive, the Holy Spirit. But he said he felt like he was supposed to go anyway. Also by the prophet Agabus in Acts 21, that if you go there. So Paul did go to Rome, but not how he thought. Sometimes we think that we're going somewhere, right? He's like, I'm going to go to Rome, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, but how you get there is a different story. If you remember what happened, there was a riot in Jerusalem after he gave him the gift, right? And a lot of the Jews just rose up, and they put Paul in prison, and then Caesarea by the sea for a couple years, and then he appealed to Caesar. He got shipwrecked. Anyway, he finally got to Rome. And then freed to maybe go to Spain or wherever. But he went in a way that he wasn't familiar with. But it says this. It says, you know, I urge you, brothers, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle. And, you know, the more I walk with the Lord, the more I go through this, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are going to have struggles and trials. Paul had them over and over again. Paul's handkerchiefs would heal people. That's how anointed this guy was. He was stoned, he was stoned with stones to death, some people think, and rose from the, who knows, you know? But he had lots of problems and struggles because he served the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually, physically. I don't have it on the screen, but go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 24 to 27. Because it's almost like a shocker when people go through a trial or a prolonged trial. And it really shouldn't be. You know, Peter said, hey, don't think it's strange that these fiery trials you're going through. We're going to go through them. But you know what we do? We think it's strange. And we think we're the only one. We think it's never going to get better. And so somebody read for me that. I don't know. Joe, since you're right there, is the microphone sort of so far? You need the mic.
24-27?
You read, let's see, what did I say? 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 27. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 to 27. I think that's it. I didn't think that myself.
Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes.
Think about that. Five times he received 40 lashes. How many of you, I just by a show of hands, in your Christian faith, with all the trials you've gone through, and I'm sure
actually.
Some of you have gone through hard trials. I have too. But how many of you, by a show of hands, have had been whipped 40 times? Five times, did you say? Five times 40 whips. Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, continue.
40, say one.
Three times I was beaten with rods.
Okay, how many have been beaten with rods? Just by a show of hands. Here. Jen has been beaten with rods. Okay, well, okay, other than Jen. All right, keep going.
Once I was stoned.
I'm not going to ask that one. Anyway, keep going.
Let's
move right along. Keep going, Joe.
Three times I was shipwrecked.
Shipwrecked? Anybody? Sandbar. Okay, continue with the way he said it next. after the shipwreck.
I spend a night and a day in the open sea.
Now, just think about this. Have you ever been on the open sea at night?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you. And I don't mean like fishing, like where you can still see the shore. I mean where you see nothing but blackness. Now imagine. If you're Paul, here's Paul, anointed. Jesus showed up and he had kind of conversion experience. Here's miracles flowing from him. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit is working. People are getting saved and rising. Here, all this stuff. Now you're floating. You're in a shipwreck, floating in that darkness. I went on a night dive one time. And let me tell you, where you crack these little glow sticks, so really that's all you have, and a little flashlight. And I've never had a panic attack, but I was probably about as close to twice where I thought, oh my God. And that was one of them. So we're out in this little dinky boat. You can see nothing, no shore but blackness, in about 120 feet waters. And I'm thinking, why did I agree to this? I'm thinking Megalodon. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? Isn't that true?
I would suggest you don't go see the movie 47 Fathoms.
Yes. I want to see 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. That's the closest I want to get. But you're floating. Think about that. Are you not thinking, does God really love me? Right? Let's be honest. Wouldn't you? You're floating a night and a day? And here's God who has blessed Paul abundantly, that we're learning from him right now. Right? A night. This is just one thing I'm pointing out to you. Does God love Paul? Does he love you?
Yes.
I'm sure that crossed his mind maybe when he was being beaten by rods or whipped or stoned or... Anyway, keep going, Joe. What else does it say?
I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen.
From bandits. Well, you know what? Yesterday, I'm at my office, and they're collecting all this goodies so you guys can get the food. And there was, right around the corner, I'm hearing this yelling, so I think it's a drunk couple, you know, around the corner. And I found out, finally, it escalated. I'm thinking, what is going on? There's other folks riding there. I said, everything okay? It was dark. Yeah, everything's done. They're working it out. Okay. And then it got so bad, I went around the corner and the car was speeding away. And some guy was drunk and he was in Verizon trying to get his phone done. They couldn't help him. And so he got so mad that he tried to pull the knife on the manager. I'm like, are you okay? The manager's like, jerk up. And tried to stab to kill him, the manager. The manager's, and I'm like, I said, okay, I'm going to hang out here with you right now. Call the cops. He's on the phone with the cops. And I'm going to hang out with you. And so this guy tried to stab him. Now, here's the other thing. The other drunk, and then there's his girlfriend was like, I'm going to come back. She's screaming hysterically. And the guy who has a concealed carry, okay, but Verizon doesn't let him have that in the office. He has it in his car, so it was probably a good thing because the other guy would have been dead on the floor. Yeah. Anyway. But the bottom line is, you never know when that's... But how many of us have been, you know, in danger from being robbed and killed because we're sharing our faith a lot? Constant danger. Right? I go home, let me tell you what I'm going to do afterwards. Well, we have some puppies going home. But then, somewhere along the line, I'm going to watch a little TV, have a little lunch, maybe a soda, a healthy soda.
Yeah.
There's no such thing.
Yes. Healthy soda. You know, this is what he's constantly in danger. What else? Is there anything else?
In danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers.
Are you getting a little bit of an idea? Constant danger! So when you're going through these trials, don't doubt God's love for you. Or that he's not there. He was with Paul the whole way, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Okay, all right, let's go back. Back to Romans. He's with you. But he's saying, I'm urging you, brothers. You know, that struggle. I'm urging you, brothers. I'm begging you, the Lord Jesus Christ, back in Romans chapter 15, verse 30. And by the love of the Spirit, join me in my struggle. And the Greek word there means I want you to strive together, you know, as one. He's just like, he's like, I want you to agonize with me in prayer. That's what the word means, to agonize, to struggle in prayer. I want you guys to struggle by praying for me. And listen, that praying for me, here's, especially guys have a problem with this, but some of us ladies, some of the ladies here, us as a group body, hello, and some of us men have a problem asking for prayer. Right? Isn't that true? I've got no problem praying for somebody else. You need prayer, I am right there for you. Right? As we should be, men, women. But do we ask for prayer?
Well, I don't want to do that. You know, it's, I can handle it.
The spiritual man. I'm a godly woman. I don't want any of the women here to think I'm weak. I don't want any of the guys here to think I'm weak. Can I tell you? I need your prayer. Let me just say it from the pulpit. Here's your pastor. I'm saying I need your prayers. Paul! Whipped, beaten, you get the idea. Danger constantly saying, I need you to pray for me. Why don't we ask for prayer? You know the reason why you don't. Why don't we? I'll say we, so not you, we. Why don't we ask for prayer? For ourselves. What?
I prayed about it 5 years ago.
Prayed about it 5 years ago? Right, you don't need to do it again. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. Why else? Why else don't we?
Because we try to handle it ourselves.
Try to handle it ourselves instead of relying on God, right? What else? We're prideful. That can't be true. Not us. Not you. Not her. Not him.
Embarrassed.
Yeah. Embarrassed. Why would we be embarrassed? Tell me that, Jen.
Whatever the struggle is, you know. We all struggle with something, but sometimes you feel like the only one struggling with whatever that is. So you're
how many have ever felt that they're the only one struggling with X? Raise your hand right now. Look at the hands. Almost everybody. That's what the enemy wants you to think. Not true. Yes.
Guilt.
For
me, we don't want to reach out.
Yes.
Why we don't ask.
I agree. You don't want to. Sometimes it's guilt. Isn't that true? But all those, where are they all focused?
Self.
What are they, Shannon?
We feel hopeless sometimes.
We feel hopeless. That's right. But we're saying more about God than, you know, we're focusing on ourselves. We're saying more about God than we are. You know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. God doesn't want us to be that way. Paul's saying, hey, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, I don't know if I have it on the screen here. Oh, I did. Praise the Lord.
So why
it says, pray, Paul is saying again, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul's saying, sometimes I get scared. Pray for me that I can do it fearlessly. This is Paul. So shouldn't you ask for prayer? Shouldn't I? Is that really a weakness if I ask you for prayer? Or is it really a strength? So don't let anybody, you know what I'm saying, that's a strength. It shows humility. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. I want to be humble before the Lord. I don't want to be the proud person. I don't need prayer. Well, then they'll knock you down a few pegs to show you you do. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think, you know, we're talking about trials and things that come in our lives, tragedies, you know, and when they happen to us, I think it takes a while for us to work it through. So I think that's why prayer is so important. You know, you have the tragedy, the illness, the whatever is happening that has come out of nowhere usually.
Yes.
And then you have the spiritual battle behind it. And that's why, you know, we need so much prayer in that spiritual battle. Is you have to kind of grasp with that. You have to, like, you have to reason it out with the Lord. And you need to have your spiritual, like, warehouse full of His Word at that time to, like, bring about in your mind to help you in that spiritual battle that He is still good, you know, and He still cares for you, still wants you in ministry, still wants you to do what He's called you to do. This might be something that He's, like, bringing you through, and I think that's why it catches us by surprise, and I think the first couple times tragedy hits us in our lives, because, I mean, I didn't have a lot of tragedy, really big tragedy, until, you know, 30, And when that hit, there was a like, oh God, I'm doing what you want me to do here. It's the best I know. And it like, it takes you back. And, you know, so it's really good that we study what Paul went through. It's really good that those things, but each one of us has to deal with that first and second and third major tragedy, because we're going to have them in our lives. And it's a spiritual battle as much as it is a physical battle of what's happening to us or around us, to our loved ones or whatnot. And, you know, we always hear that phrase, if what doesn't kill us, you know, will make us stronger. And I totally don't believe in that. I feel like what doesn't kill us sometimes will make us bitter unless we submit it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, one way we can look at it and say, okay, don't be surprised when these things happen. But then also realize that you have to work it out between you and the Lord when that happens, you know. And you need to be reminded constantly of what God has promised you. And that, you know, no matter what, we will be in heaven with him. Because it doesn't always mean, you know, that we will be healed or our loved ones will be healed. We will have to go through these things. And it takes us back. You know, don't be surprised that you're taken back, or don't think of it as you're not strong when you feel weak and you ask the questions, because we do. We have to reason it out with the Lord and with his Holy Spirit.
And ask for help in prayer. I mean, absolutely. You know, we were up Thursday night. I was really proud of this team. He came up and he's going into National Guard next year. So, but he asked for prayer for a lot of things that were going on. And I don't know how many people gathered around him. There's like 10, there's like a dozen people, maybe 10, 15, just went, and a whole bunch of people prayed for him. And this strong kid guy just started crying, man. And afterwards, he's just like, I just felt the Holy Spirit when people prayed. You could tell it was an anointed word. God was just speaking. And it was hard for him to come and ask for prayer. But because he did, a whole bunch of people gathered around him, and he felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just words. I mean, he was like, I felt the Holy Spirit. We're having to give him tissues, you know. But that's God working in and through the body. You know, when it comes to prayer, you know, there's a couple things that I want to, this might be review, but there's a couple things I just want to go over. This is how God wants us to pray. For some of you, this is a quick review. I'll try to make it quick. Some of you already know this, because I've taught it before, but just here's a couple things. First, God wants us to pray when we're praying. He wants us to pray purposefully. You know, now, when I say purposefully, I mean according to his will. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have toward him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So pray purposely. Lord, what is your will in this situation? Not what's my will. What's your will in this situation? Surrender it all to him. So pray purposely when you pray to the Lord. The next thing is to pray passionately. Pray passionately. You know, James chapter 5, verses 15, verse 16 says to pray for one another, that you may be healed, or you may be helped, or you may be instructed. Pray for one another. And then it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, it would be, availeth much. In other words, some translations say that fervent prayer is powerful and effective. That's why God wants us to pray. It's powerful. It's effective. If we're fervently praying, not just, Lord, you know, heal Joe, whatever, he's good, okay, take care. But Lord, will you please, in faith, I'm trusting, will you please touch his body? Will you please get him through this situation? Will you protect him spiritually, whatever it might be? So we want to be praying purposefully, and we want to be praying passionately. We also want to be praying perseveringly, okay, is another one. Pray perseveringly. Ephesians 6:18, you know, Ephesians 6:12 says we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and heavenly places. Some, you know, Natalie's, Rumsey's husband said, I can't believe how much spiritual warfare is going on since I started reading the book, This Present Darkness. She's like, oh my gosh, it's like the enemy is trying to get me away from this book and realizing spiritual warfare like nobody's business. Right. You know, and 6:18 says this, I want you He's speaking to you and me. I want you to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. I want you to stay alert and be persevering in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So not only does he want us to pray purposely, passionately, perseveringly, but also positionally. In Luke 18:14, you remember the two people that were praying? One was a religious guy. And he's like, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like all these sinners. And that I'm blessed. And I pray in, you know, you've seen those people, right? I just pray in Jesus' name for this poor sinner girl here and this poor sinner guy. And they're all filled with pride. But then there was the other guy, the tax collector. He's like, Lord, just have mercy on me. I'm just a sinner. I just want to pray. And it says, Jesus said this, I tell you that this man, the one who was humble before the Lord in his prayers, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves, I don't have it all in there, will be exalted. And so God wants us to pray positionally, to pray in humility and in faith, not in self-righteous condemnation when you're praying. And then last but not least, if I remember correctly, is pray persistently. This is Luke 18:1, the parable of the persistent widow. And he told that story. He says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and give up sometimes.
Never.
And never give up. Interesting, right? I heard there's a little acronym. I don't know if it's really true. I can think about it. I just read it this morning. Push. Pray until something happens. Push. I'm not sure if that's really theologically correct. I've got to think about it more, but I thought that was interesting. All right. So he wants us to pray. All right, back in Romans. As we finish Romans, he's praying for three things. If you notice in those last verses of 31, he's like, I just want you, one, pray that I be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, because he knew that prophecy was made, that they were going to hand him over to the police, he was going to be bound up. Two, that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. There was still a lot of division between the religious Jews and the Gentiles. So here's a whole bunch of money coming to the Jews. From Gentiles. They used to be considered dogs before they became Christians. So now, God's breaking down some walls, so they might not even accept the money. And then lastly, it says, I want you to pray, you know, that I'll be able to come with you and come together with you, be refreshed. And then we have 16. It's a bunch of names, and I thought, man, what a bummer, but here's why you need to read it. In the book of Romans, as he's closing this letter, there's so much doctrine, there's so much good stuff. If you just read the book of Romans, man, if you've been with us through the full study, God has used it to grow you and to strengthen you and to give you proper doctrine in your head, to renew your minds, to get some things your head kind of screwed on straight. You know? But I don't want you to be religious anyway. This is Paul is going to share his heart. You're going to see the heart of Paul. Because if you have all that doctrine and all that knowledge, and you don't have the heart, you've missed out on Jesus. You've missed out on everything. If you don't have love, you're just a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to call you. I'm going to take back. Sorry. You're just a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. But it says this in Romans chapter 16, and we're obviously not going to get through all of it. But when I think about all these names, men and women, I think how interesting that the Holy Spirit thought it important that we mention some of these people by name. You never would have known who they were except for their work for the Lord. Did you think about that? They could be big, important, huge people in their time, but you never would have known who they were. God knows their name, and he knows your name too. Exodus 33:17 says, I know you by name. Think about this. There's billions of people in the world. Billions! And yet God says, I know you by name. And I know you by name. Isn't that amazing to you? I formed you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. All the days were a day for you before one came into being. I made this life good works for you to walk in. He says this. He says, see, I have engraved you in the palm of my hand. Isaiah 49:16. And when I read that verse, I just see Jesus on the cross. You know, hands outstretched. Right, with the nails in his hand. He did that for you. Personally. Amber Lee. Because he loves you. St. Victor did it for you. Personally. Because he loves you. And he wants you to be with him. Isaiah 49:16. Hit the light there for a second. This is important. Because sometimes we can get lost in a sea of theology or a sea of God is saying, no, I love you personally. That's why you hear about personal relationship. That's what it's about. In Isaiah 43:1-2, when you're going through these situations and these trials, and Lisa, like Lisa said, you have to know through it personally, work it through personally. He says, fear not. He said, I've redeemed you. He says, I've called you by name. Says, you are mine, Elijah. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. That's Isaiah 43:1-2. You know, when I read something like that, it's personal. You remember, the guys in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Mm-hmm. You guys remember that story? Yeah. Okay. They were sitting before the king of the world, the king of Babylon at the time, and he wanted everybody to bow down to him. And there's going to be people or things, situations, I want you to bow down and do this. And no, I'm serving the Lord. And they said, hey, he said, listen, he goes, if you don't do it, I'm going to throw you in this furnace. I'm going to heat it up so hot and burn you alive. Hello. Going through this really hard time. Burned alive. And he said, listen, King, the God we serve is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to serve you or bow down to an image you were. It's not going to. I love you. I respect you. I'm not going to do it. And if you remember the story, he got so mad, he said, throw them in! Heat it up, and he heated up hotter than it had ever been. Even the guards that were throwing them in burned alive. Okay? And he put them in the furnace, and you remember there was someone that went in. He said, wait a minute, we threw three guys in there, but there's four in there. One of them looks like some sort of shining white angel. I believe that was Jesus Christ. In the fire, and they didn't get burned. It's you that he loves. Anything he's letting you go through, he's going to take you through it. He's going to see you through it to the other side. You have his promise. It's personal. It's real. It says in those first verses of Romans 16, it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria. Phoebe. Her name, that name Phoebe, means radiant one. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it means radiant. And he's saying, man, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church. So here's the thing. Here's the book of Romans. They didn't have copies. Somebody gave me a copy of the church directory, by the way, which they're backed by Laura there. And if you want one, you can grab it. But they didn't have copies. This is the only copy of Romans in existence. Now, she didn't know it at the time, but, you know, probably a hurricane could have come, you know, a nuclear bomb could have come, and they still would have survived. But Paul entrusted her with this task. Now, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, Jesus, oh, he didn't, Paul, they didn't treat women very well. just the opposite. Women weren't treated well. Paul is saying, man, I commend you, Phoebe. She's a godly woman. In fact, I'm trusting her with the only copy that we have today that are being encouraged into Phoebe's hands. Isn't that neat? He's saying, I commend our sister Phoebe. Listen, there's we might have different roles in things. You know, male and female, that's okay. But at the foot of the cross, God bless you, it says in Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, we're all one in Christ Jesus. And it says that she was a servant. Now, some people use that word servant, diakonos is in the Greek, and sometimes some people think that means that she was a deaconess in the church. Now, whether she actually was a deaconess or had that role, she had some important role, that's for sure, in the church of Centuria, which was by Corinth. And he goes on in verse 2 and says, I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way that's worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Now, I don't know about you, but that's amazing to me. How would you like the Apostle Paul to say, you know what, Daryl? Daryl has been a great help to me in the Lord. Imagine Jesus saying that to Scott. Scott has been an amazing help to me. What a beautiful thing. He's saying that about Phoebe, but he's calling her a servant. It says that she's been a great help to many people, including me. Now, nobody wants to be a servant. The world certainly doesn't tell you that. But look, I've got a quote from D.L. Moody. Can you hit the light for a second there, Chris? Paul's saying, man, she's an amazing servant. D.L. Moody said that there are many of us that are willing to do great things for the Lord, but few of us who are willing to do the little things. How do you think that is, folks? Yeah, go ahead.
Because we want to be prideful. We just want to do the thing that gets everybody to be like, wow, look at that great, super Christian, like that.
Isn't that true?
The little things that barely anyone noticed, but still, like, God notices it.
Yes, good. Elijah, anything else you want to say?
He already said.
Okay,
more interesting, more exciting.
More interesting, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I just want to do the big things for God. I don't want to serve in little ways.
Foot washing isn't on the list.
That's right. But was it on Jesus' list? Good. You know, Matthew 23:11, Jesus said, you want to really look at great, we always look at these, rock star pastors thinking they got listen, the greatest among you is simply going to be your servant. That's Christ's heart. That should be our heart. Right? Should I stop here? 3-5 minutes, we'll stop. A couple more names, okay? Priscilla and Aquila, verse 3, says, I want you to greet them. Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, they risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. You know? We read about Priscilla and Aquila in Acts chapter 18, in 2 Timothy 4:19. They were with Paul for many years in the church of Corinth. They served there, and then they went to Ephesus and served there, and now they're in Rome serving there. And Spurgeon said this, and I love it. He says, when two loving hearts pull together for the Lord, they accomplish wonders. What different associations cluster around the names of Priscilla and Aquila from those which are awakened by the words Ananias and Sapphira? You remember them, right? They were kind of hypocritical. They lied to the Holy Spirit in the early book of Acts. And it says, there we have a husband and wife conspiring in hypocrisy with Ananias and Sapphira. And here we have a wife and a husband united in sincere devotion, leading people to Christ and equipping them in Christ. It's awesome. He also says in verse 5, greet also the church that meets at their house. I love it. They opened up their home. I think that's amazing that they did that. How hospitable are they? You know, 1 Peter 4:19 says to one another, offer hospitality to one another. And this is a key. This sometimes gets me. Without what?
Grumbling.
I'll do it. Yeah. But I want you to be welcoming. Anybody who walks in this door, welcome them in Jesus' name. Make them feel welcome. Make them feel welcome in your home. Have you invited them out to dinner? Somebody invited us out to lunch a couple weeks ago, and to a place I wouldn't normally go. We had a great time. So offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Well, we'll go through the rest of these names. We'll finish off in a couple weeks. Next week, we're going to have Paul come and talk to us and share with us from Africa about the ministry. And it should be a great time. Again, please make sure you make everybody feel welcome, if you would. Show them the hospitality of Jesus Christ. Remember that whatever you're going through, whatever situation that you're in, that God is with you, that he loves you personally, that you are important, that he is with you, that he's never going to leave you, he's never going to forsake you. Ask the Lord to help you to persevere in prayers through some of these things, to pray purposely and passionately and perseveringly and persistently and positionally. Ask him to give you that heart for prayer. Maybe you can come join us Sunday mornings for prayer. I missed prayer this morning. I was so bummed. Let's just take a minute and pray right now. Lord, I pray for every person who's not here today, first off, because chances are some of them aren't here because they're going through that type of struggle, Lord. So we pray in Jesus' name that you would strengthen them, that you would equip them, that you would encourage them. Lord, we pray that something you spoke today would be instilled in our minds and in our hearts, Lord, that you would plant your word deep in our hearts. Something that was said today would sprout and grow in us, Lord, that we should be the kind of people that would be a blessing to your heart and a blessing to your name, Lord God. Well, we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to be the kind of people that really glorify you, Lord. And that while we're weak, you're strong. I ask for prayer when we need it. And that we're continually praying for one another. We ask your blessing next week on Pastor Paul, Lord, and all the folks that are helping to prepare the lunch and everything next week, Lord God. And everything would go well, from the technology end of it to the worship end of it to the kids' church to the food, or just everything, to the teaching, that would all be from you, Lord God. We pray your blessing along the way, Lord God, just that everybody else would just rise up and be the ministers that you called them to be, the servants you called them to be. And you would give us all that heart for you, because that's your heart. We love you. We pray a blessing over this group. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a great week, guys. God bless you guys.
Well, God, you guys.